Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name's Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible. We're going through the scripture book by book and chapter by chapter, verse by verse, pretty much on a daily basis here. We've ended up in the Psalms. And we're at Psalm 59. I'm going to just back up to verse 1 and start there. To the chief musician, and of course, as the exclamation here I have is that, the King James translators did not translate some Hebrew words, in the especially throughout the Psalms, because they have here a Hebrew word, Al-Tash-Keith, which means thou must not destroy. And it says probably the opening words of a popular song. Whatever that means, I don't really know. And then it says miktam, also another Hebrew word, which means an engraving or a poem. So when I read that in Hebrew, and most people, if you don't have, perhaps you just have a regular Bible that doesn't have the Hebrew in it, or the Strong's definitions, you wouldn't have a clue what all that means. So that, along with the word, a few other words that the King James translators chose not to translate into English. And I guess maybe in this case, they thought for some reason that leaving it in Hebrew was beneficial, or it was not important enough to be translated. I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet. Now, when they didn't translate the word heresy from the Greek, because the word heresy entered into the English language from the 1611 King James Bible. Before that, there was no such word as heresy. But when they chose not to translate the word into English, it became an English word and taking on different connotations and meanings. But heresy basically means sectarianism or division. As Paul exclaimed, he said, I was of the sect of the Pharisees. And the word sect there is the same word that they chose not to translate in other places. So he could have said, I was of the heresy of the Pharisees. Of course, the connotation is different in that case than what it has come to mean in the meantime. Just a interesting thing there as we go through the Psalms and see a few more words that were not translated from the original language, this case being Hebrew. The word heresy, of course, was the Greek. So we have to the chief musician, Al, and I gotta look for pronunciation each time I do this, Al-Tash-Keith and Miktam of David. When Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. Save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahuwah. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me. And behold, and that's where we left off last time. Verse 5, thou therefore, Yahuwah, God of hosts, the God of Israel, and he does name him by name, so that's why I go ahead and I say Yahuwah, whereas the word is followed by the word Elohim, which is translated into God in English. And as far as I know, we really don't have a better word for Elohim in English. Excuse me. And there are some out there that they don't want to say the word God. Some because they don't want to say the name of God. And some go as far as to type it. And when they write it out, they put G-D as if that was really the name of God. But here we have the name of God, Yahuwah in Hebrew, next to the word Elohim in Hebrew, which we translate God, which is not his name. Because God can, or the Elohim word can also be a magistrate or a judge or a mighty one. It could be a mighty one on the earth, a man. And or in context, it could be the Almighty God. And in this context, it is where David proclaims and says, "Thou therefore, O Yahuwah, by name the Creator, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors." And of course, it says Selah there, which means to pause, basically. So I'm just going to pause when I see the word Selah for effect. I think that's what it's there for, because other than that, it doesn't mean anything. Verse 6, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. They go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, they say, doth hear? But thou, Yahuwah, shall laugh at them. Thou shall have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength, I will wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of mercy shall prevent me. God shall see me. The God of mercy shall prevent me. And I guess prevent him from being taken. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. And the point here, as I talked a little bit about this yesterday, for the sin of their mouth, the words of their lips, let them be taken. You know, when every word you speak tells you about who you are. So in a way, you receive an immediate judgment by your own lips, the works of your hands and the works of your life tell us about who you are. They form you into what you are. And that is your judgment, basically. Your judgment is your own lips. The judgment comes out of your own lips because it declares what you are. The judgment is the works of your own hands, for your works declare who you are. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob to the ends of the earth. 14, Psalm 59. And at evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 60. To the chief musician upon Shushan Iduth Miktam of David, to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharaim, and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand. And hear me, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall dread down our enemies. You know, I fear for the nation that I live in as I review the Old Testament, and I see the nation, the peoples, yes, Jacob, Israel, that the Heavenly Father adopted and called them a people and separated them out of the earth for himself. And he did miracles among them. He gave them his law. He gave the whole earth his law through them. And I see how that he judged them time and time again. And he stood back while they failed in their endeavors, while they lost, you know, many lives. They were put in bondage and servitude over and over again by their enemies around them. And I just think it's coming. When he punished Israel, and when Babylon came in, Nebuchadnezzar came in, and judgment began at the house of Yahuwah, or the house of the Lord, as they say these days. Then after he judged Israel, he continued by judging all of the nations around Israel until Babylon had wielded by the hand of our Heavenly Father, had subdued every nation and punished every nation around Israel, starting with, yes, judgment begins at the house of Yahuwah, starting with Israel, and then continuing in judgment, wielding Babylon as his sword, the sword of Yahuwah. That's what the scripture says, that Babylon was a sword in his hand to punish his own people and to punish all of those nations round about Israel that should have benefited by Israel, by the word of God that came out of Israel. Instead, what happened, of course, Israel was polluted by the nations around them. Rather than being a light, they allowed their light to be put out and vanquished, nationally speaking. Of course, the Heavenly Father always had his remnant, and he has his remnant today. Some people are astonished, but I've accepted the fact that most people will definitely just not hear that there will always only be a remnant, that nations as a whole will always, even if they start out great and wonderful and lamb-like, of course, I have to add that they always degenerate on a national level to idolatry, to gross idolatry, as we see happening with us, as we see happen time and time again with Israel, but always maintaining that remnant. Is there hope for America? Was there hope for Israel? Obviously not. Israel was only maintained, and then, after Babylon, maintained in the times of the Gentiles for one purpose, and that was to bring forth the promised seed of the Messiah. From the time of Babylon, the time of the Gentiles, and which has existed until today, the times of the Gentiles, you've heard that phrase, from your authorized King James Version, from the mouth of the Messiah, the times of the Gentiles, Jerusalem shall be trodden down underfoot until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, I believe that times of the Gentiles began when Jerusalem became trodden down, and that was with Babylon. So that extends backwards from when the Messiah coined that phrase, so to speak. Of course, I'm sure he spoke it in Hebrew, but we have that understanding now as a revelation that the Heavenly Father has given me, that that is the times of the Gentiles, and it continues, and it will continue until the Messiah returns. And as Daniel's the image dream and the interpretation foretells, until that image is ground to powder and driven away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for it anymore. And then his kingdom fills the whole earth. Then we will know. Then the ends of the times of the Gentiles will be through. And until then, we are still in it. And Jerusalem still is trodden down of the nations. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem is now, by edict of the what do you call those people? United Nations. Yeah, those people. Of course, controlled by the Vatican. You know, the Vatican has its seat and a controlling seat in the United Nations, but called the International City. And if an international city does not mean trodden down by the nations, because what is the UN and what does international mean but nations? So Jerusalem is the international city. And there it is in your face, still trodden down of the nations. And we're still in that time. So a little insight into prophecy there that I believe the Heavenly Father has shown me. And I haven't heard that from anyone else, but I think it's quite clear. And perhaps I'm sure there are other people that have understood that beside me. We're in chapter 60, or Psalm 60, as you would say. And we just finished that. So we're going to move on here to Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Naginah, a psalm of David. And of course, Naginah means properly instrumental music, by extension, a poem set to music. There we go. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my voice. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And this makes me think of, well, what I was just talking about, that image. And toward the end of that image, we have iron and clay. And the prophet declares, he says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Who shall mingle themselves with the seed of men? Of course, the people of God, the people called by his name. And at one time, that was Israel. But in context of that image, it goes with the iron and the clay. Of course, the iron representing the people of the iron and the government systems of the iron, which exist today and will exist until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there's nothing else. People talking about a new world order, and they're looking for, you know, this one world antichrist figure to stand up, and he's going to create a one world government with a one world monetary system. But you know what? I see iron and clay. And after the iron and clay, I don't see anything. I see the kingdom of God. I see that stone that was cut without hands striking the image in the feet. Yes, in the feet of iron and clay, and obliterating it. I don't see a one world government. If there is going to be a one world government, we have it now. We have it in the form of iron and clay. And we are the clay. The people are the clay. And that's why I think this psalm is so fitting for this time. Because we say our heart is overwhelmed. Aren't we overwhelmed when we look around and we see what's going on? And we see the evil of that has taken over the civil governments of the world. And how they all seem to be one and the same, because they're all iron. But David says here, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Yes, we have. He is our shelter. and he is our strong tower, while we are the clay amongst iron. He said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. And I like the word here that the translator, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what covert means? We have covert operations. That means secrecy. That means we're hidden. And that's how I feel sometimes when I'm traveling around in my automobile and I see the policy enforcers out there, I'm trusting in the shadow of his wings. I feel like I'm hidden in plain sight. I am covert. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That's Psalm 61, verse 4. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.